thy great mercy in sending thy Son into this world, from the glory above into this world, to be a Saviour. Oh Lord, how we need a Saviour, and what a Saviour he is. And we pray we might see it in the singing of the hymns and the carols this evening, and in the readings of the Word of God, and in all that we do, O Lord, we pray that we might just sense that great truth of the Son of God becoming the Son of Man, so that sons of men might become sons of God. Lord, bless us together. Let there be a presence in our midst, we pray. We ask these things for thy glory. Amen. We'll sing our first carol, which is number 360, 360 in the hymn book. Once in Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed. Shall we stand to sing hymn number 360, 360?
Yeah.
I can welcome you for the second time, for those who just arrived. I trust the Lord will bless us together this evening. If I can just run through some other Christmas meetings. Tomorrow afternoon, 3:30, is our Sunday school carols in the church in the hall next door. We have friends from Ely Presbyterian, and some of us hope to attend their carol service, and that's Tuesday at 7 o'clock, Tuesday the 22nd of December. And then we have a Welsh Christmas meeting, or Christmas Eve meeting, rather. That's at 11:15 p.m. 11:15 p.m. in the evening to see Christmas in. And then our own Christmas service on Christmas Day at 10:30. After the service, which will be about an hour, finish about 7 o'clock, we'll have refreshments. You're very welcome to join us. Refreshments next door in the hall, which you can access either through this door, across the link, or around the front. Now we'll turn to the Word of God and Matthew chapter 1 and verses 18 to 25. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Now we'll continue in our worship with hymn 357, carol 357. Tremendous words here in this carol. Let earth and heaven combine. As we sing it, just look at the words. They are quite sublime and lift us to the great truths of God. Shall we stand to sing hymn 357, Let Earth and Heaven Combine?
Yeah.
2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that he through his poverty might be rich." Now, with our next hymns, the three next hymns, we're going to remain seated, but the Sunday school are going to help us. They're going to sing Away in a Manger, which in the hymn books is 1156. And they'll sing the first verse and sign as well, deaf sign language. They'll sing and sign. But they'll sing the first verse alone, and then we'll all join from verse 2 onwards. But the congregation to remain seated, and are the Sunday school going to stand? Galatians 4, verses 4 to 5. "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." Now we're going to sing a Welsh carol. You'll have a hymn book like this in the pew somewhere. And it's number 31. Well, Gwawrio, Ddydd Yw Gofio. We remain seated to sing. The first line means, "A day will dawn to be remembered." I think you can recognize some words like hallelujah. Remain seated to sing number 31. Gospel is lovely in every language. We've had the deaf language, we're singing in English, and we're singing Welsh. And I'm sure you feel the same when you go abroad and you go maybe to France and hear them singing the gospel in French. It's lovely to hear the name of the Lord in all the languages. And the words there, of course, some you can pick up, hallelujah, amen. I think you understand that, praise the Lord. Well, let me just read the word of God again. And Luke 1, verses 13 to 14. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, the Sunday school are going to sing again, the same pattern as before. We remain seated, and the Sunday school will stand to face you, sing and sign, hymn 363, Silent Night. And we'll join from second verse onwards.
Oh.
hear the word of God again. This time, the father of John the Baptist, Zacharias, speaking of Christ, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the dayspring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Well, pray indeed the Lord will guide your feet into his peace. We'll sing now another carol, and it's 359. 359. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Shall we stand to sing 359? Hear the word of God once again in the Old Testament, mentioning that Emmanuel we've sung about. Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel. remain seated to sing our next carol. And it's number 345. 345, Child in the Manger, Infant of Mary. And I trust that behind the charm of these carols that you know a reality, because these words reflect and testify of a great reality in the heart of knowing Christ. And I trust that these words mean a lot to you. When a man is saved and converted, he understands the words. It's like learning a new language. We mentioned the deaf language, the English language, the Welsh language, even the French language briefly mentioned. But here's the language of the Christian and of heaven. And we know these words and we love them. Well, shall we remain seated to sing 345, Child in the Manger? The word of God again, Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 33. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Amen. May the Lord bless our reading with his holy word. We'll sing number 340 and stand to sing and remain standing for the next hymn, so I can give both those out. Number 340, and just me reminding the chorus for you to know is, Come and worship Christ the newborn King. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Those form of words. Come and worship Christ the newborn King. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. So we sing 340, remain on your feet, and then it is that classic carol, Hark the Herald. And there's only one way to sing that carol, and that's with all our might. Because we have to reach the notes, but the words then come through better, don't they, when we get the notes right. 3-5-4 after this one. You can see the numbers on there anyway. So it's 3:40 and 3-5-4. Shall we stand? 354, Hark the Herald. Copy of these Christmas readings in the pew, please feel free to take those with you. They are readings for the month of December, dealing with various aspects of the birth of Christ. And remind you, there are refreshments afterwards in the hall. If you do have a Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. And we find these words. regarding the birth of Christ in Bethlehem. She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What I have is a message which has been probably given hundreds and hundreds of times, but is still an important message and a message I felt I just wanted to convey to you this evening. Just this thought of being no room in the inn, just recount that event for you with Joseph and Mary, the unborn Christ soon to be born. The inn was full and the innkeeper would have told them there's no room in the inn. And so he was born in a stable and laid in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. Very humble beginning. Think how the innkeeper must feel now. We trust he was never saved. And on his record was the refusal of Jehovah Jesus. Think of the Jews' belief in Jehovah, their God, and he refused entry to the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that's quite a thought. The Savior of the world. There could not have been a more wonderful visitor, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he was refused entrance, although unborn, but he was refused entrance. I want to apply that very quickly. I want to think of your heart as a house and then speak of the house of the Lord. But first of all, if we apply your heart as a house and our Saviour coming to your heart, and we could say, still there is no room. There was no room then, but still there is no room. We look at mankind, look at men and women today, and increasingly so in our days, there seems to be a rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even his name is an offence, a rejection of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. But this issue of our heart, although it's so obvious, it is a big issue. It's a very big issue. A big issue for you and for me. It might seem so reasonable for you to say there's no room because you're very busy and committed, important things. But it is so wrong when we consider who he is. Even his position before he came to the world, he was the Lord of glory to be worshipped. He was our maker and our creator. But then he became a savior and a wonderful savior, the only savior, and for many of us, our savior. But for some, not their savior. And it is so wrong on so many levels to refuse him because we owe him worship and then he comes to save us and we refuse him again. What sin is on our account that we have refused Jehovah Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior of the world? We refused. That'll be the case this evening. The son will say, there's no room. There's no room in my heart. So obvious, isn't it? Obvious little truth, the kind of message you would give in a Sunday school, but is so relevant for you and for me. There is no room. So what is the problem then? Why is there no room in our house, in our hearts? Why is there no room? Well, it's full of people, our friends and our family, so much busyness. But none of those will save you. Your family might be your God, but your family can't save you. Charming or not as they might be, they cannot save you. And your friends are so temporary. And most certainly can't save you. But they occupy your heart and your mind and they fill your life. So much so, there's no room for one like the Son of God because you would demand that first place and you know that. And you can't give that because your heart is full and that first place is taken. Also full of things because you think of Christmas now and in many ways it's quite ironic how there are so many things, aren't there? So many gifts. And especially in a materialistic society, so many things we have and so many things we buy and we spend upon. And sometimes it's really not, although it's charming and lovely, sometimes it's too much, isn't it? It's just too much. But these things, believe you me, dominate us, don't they? They do. Ah, you say, those things, then let them go then. Let them go. You can't, can you? They have you. Those things. They can be large things or small things, whatever it is, your lifestyle, you can't let them go. You are full. And you know if Christ came, he would take that first place. More particularly, your house or your heart is full of yourself. You're full of me. And this is true of all of us. Isn't it remarkable how selfish we are? And sometimes it takes a while to realize, but over time you realize that it is indeed me, me, me. And that is the prime person who is on that throne, that center place of your heart and your house. And that chair, so to speak, you will not give over to Jesus Christ, because you must be sovereign and you must reign. And so you say, there's no room. There's no room for the Lord Jesus Christ. But maybe more seriously, one of the reasons why there's no room is because our hearts and our house, so to speak, is full of sin. And we reject him for all kinds of reasons, but sin will reject Christ. Sin will say, I must remain. I cannot be ejected. I know that Christ will come and deal with those sins. And so the sins will resist Christ. And so indeed, there are things in you that resist. And you will run away even. Not just reject, but run away from the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, it's so unreasonable. You know, our blessed Savior, what does he want to do but to save you from your sins and to bring you from your worldly ways into good ways of grace and holiness and of kindness and mercy and of love? I mean, what possibly can be wrong with that except we love our sins? That's the problem. We won't let go of our sin, our lifestyle, this world without God. That's often what it comes down to, a world without God. He won't give it up. That is sin. There are sins of commission and of omission. Commission, things we do. Omission, things we don't do. We don't love him with all our heart, nor do we love our neighbor as ourselves. And Christ will come and deal with those things. Again, what does Christ do to the house, to your heart? Saves you and cleans you and adorns the house. Makes it beautiful. The graces of Christ. He himself will reside in your house, in your heart. What a house he becomes when he enters. But think of those things again. He saves us. How did he do that? Well, his birth. Do you stop at his birth? Why did he come? You know, you might think of a workman coming to the house. You're very glad he's come. Very pleased. But is that all? He came to the door. Did he come and do the job? Did he do the work? And so with Christ, he came to do a work. And that was to save us from our sins. And he did that by dying upon the cross. And there he represented us. And he took our sins upon himself and removed them, received them and removed them, suffered for them, for all who come to him, who believe in him. Yes, he saves, he cleans the house, he adorns the house. Trust me, he adorns the house. That's the big difference between a Christian and an unbeliever. Christ is in the Christian. He dwells there in the house. But you know, this picture of our heart as a house, that's not really quite it. It's a good picture. It's relevant. It's important, helpful. But you know, the real picture is not that Christ is coming to our house, but actually it's the other way around. We are coming to his house. When you bring that picture of Christ coming to our house, it's almost as if I'm the sovereign. I can reject him. But then the real picture is we are coming to him. And we are knocking on his door. And like Bartimaeus, have mercy upon me. Son of David, have mercy upon me. We approach him. He is the sovereign and the Lord and the Savior. We are the ones who are in need. you might have pity upon Christ. Oh, I might let him in. No, it's the other way around. Christ must have pity upon us. And we come with our sins. And we plead with him, oh Lord, save me. Have you noticed the language of the New Testament? It's full of pleading. People tugging on his garment. People falling at his feet. And crying out to him on the edge of the street, Son of David, have mercy upon me. That's what you must do to the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is his birth. It's a remarkable humbling. Understand who he is. He's the mighty Redeemer and the Savior. And so we come to the door, and really Christ is that door of the house of the Lord. We must come to him and believe in him, and it's through him we are saved. He is at the door, not the innkeeper now. That Christ is the keeper of the house of the Lord, and we enter through him and only through him. Only through him, my friend. Only through him, the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the wonderful thing. Unlike this innkeeper, I don't know what you think. Was he just businesslike and said, sorry, there's no room? Or was he cold-hearted? There seems to be a suggestion of cold-heartedness. Here was a woman about to give birth. He would have thought he would have done something, would have given up his own bed, if nothing else. Oh, but our Savior is not like this innkeeper. He never turns away anybody who truly comes to him. And that's the issue. You must truly come to him. And when you truly come as a sinner and ask the Lord to save you from your sins and to join him and to be with him and follow him, then he will always, always, always allow you in. It's a lovely verse in John 6, verse 37. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There never will be anybody ever who will be refused by the Lord Jesus Christ. You will be allowed into his house. Well, the carol we're going to sing actually captures all that. And it's carol, hymn number 366. 366. As we sing these words, that you might think personally of your heart and of Christ and of your relationship to Jesus Christ. It's critical. It stands or falls on this, on your relationship to Christ. Well, we'll stand to sing 366, thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown. Shall we stand? Shall we pray?
Our blessed God and our Father, we do thank thee for the great mercy of the gospel captured by the incarnation, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think of the glory of it, the Father sending the Son from the glory above into this world of woe. And there, O Lord, he was born into poverty, but knew such depth of poverty. There at Calvary, we suffered for sin, but rose in mighty power, victorious, and came and accomplished his great work of saving men and women. O Lord, we thank thee for the great power and reality of these things. And we do pray, O Lord, at this happy and blessed time of Christmas, that there might be some true reality in our hearts as we think of these things and sing of them, that these things might indeed be found in us, found in our hearts, that Christ himself might be found in our hearts. O Lord, we pray, we might know that life of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Christ said himself, I am come that they might have life. Lord, we pray, let us know the wonderful life of Christ, the mercy and the grace, all these wonderful words of the Scriptures. Lord, we pray, let the vitality and the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ and of the Word of God find a place in our heart. Lord, to thee be the glory. Help us, O Lord, in these things, we pray. Lead us, we ask, in our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.